The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
In July of 2017, 20th Century Fox commissioned a national survey regarding aliens and alien abductions. Of those surveyed, almost 40% believed ETs have visited Earth at some point. Furthermore, the survey reported that 18% of those surveyed believe that alien abductions are taking place. Many of those who report being taken aboard alien craft are lifelong experiencers. This relatively small percentage of people often recall their experiences beginning from when they are as young as 5 years old. Experiencers like Hillary Porter. Hillary claimed on national television in the UK that she has a long history of encountering mysterious beings and being taken aboard their craft. She even made a statement that she had physical proof that she had been subjected to invasive examinations by these extraterrestrials. This case file joined the theorists as they spill the beans on the top voted choice for the Ron Pond monthly fan pick poll, the abductions of Hillary Porter.
Welcome to Alien Theorist Theorizing Case File 190, Hillary Porter and the Council of Beans. I'm Braden.
I'm Zell.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Andrew.
What was the title?
Hillary Porter.
Porter.
And the Council of Beans.
Yeah, we got the inside scoop from J.K. Rowling. This is the missing ninth book of the series.
The ninth book.
It's the ninth book, isn't it?
Yeah, they've switched genders.
Yeah, that's fine.
And last names.
You just have to say Hillary Porter.
Hillary Porter.
Hillary Porter.
That's how I was saying it all day.
And powers. Not wizards anymore.
Yeah, no, it's not, unfortunately. Before we get going here, we got to just quick something we don't usually do, but,
don't get your hopes up,
but, big birthday shout out to Rich, at Bear Country on our Instagram. He's been long time fan of the show, long time friend of the show. His special lady friend, Michelle, messaged us and asked to make sure we gave, Rich, nice birthday shout out. So, hey, cheers to you, man.
Yeah, happy birthday, buddy.
Happy birthday.
Cheers. Happy birthday.
Every once in a while,
cheers to you.
If people are persistent enough, it
she put it like, because she knows we're dumb. So she's like, I'm going to remind these guys on the day just so they do it.
Well,
she did. That was smart.
And the only reason we're doing this, like, it's a rare occurrence. And two people happen to have the same birthday and both remind me to ask.
Take a sip, gurgle really quick, swallow.
Remind me to ask.
Both these people reminded me to give the mentions.
Okay.
The second one is for Vanessa. It's her 22nd birthday, and she's currently partying it up in Vegas.
Lucky.
And her special man friend, Jonathan, messaged us. He actually made me laugh. And the only reason I gave this shout out is because he said, "Hey, I've never listened to this show. I have no idea what it's about. But my girlfriend, she's obsessed with it. I don't know what
sounds
it's all
like
about.
A cool lady, man.
Yeah, you should. Yeah. Tie that up. She's pretty cool. And happy birthday, Vanessa. You're 22nd.
So if you take anything from those birthday shout outs, take it from Zell and Braden. Well, we don't do this often. We definitely don't do it often. So don't ask to do it.
Well, yeah. If you like, honestly, like if you
don't do it often, then we did a double.
Yeah.
If you heard this and you're like, my birthday's coming up next week, I want to shout out, and you message, I'll probably ignore the message. You got to wait a little while. It's going to be special.
Gotta let it simmer down. Gotta let it fall into it, like fall behind in our memory.
Well, here's Bear Country. He's been a fan of the show for a long time on Instagram. I mistook him for Cole Berry one time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, because they have similar names.
Yeah. What the hell? I forget what Cole Berry's name is, but some bear, right?
Something bear. Yeah. So I thought it was
Bear
Cole
Claw.
Bear.
He's
Bear
like,
Claw.
He's like, yeah. Nah, it's not Cole Berry.
Whatever. Cole Berry gets a birthday shout out for yeah, sure. I don't know Cole when Berry, it is, happy but happy birthday. Birthday, dude. You're the man. I fucking love you.
Whatever it is.
Yeah. Anyone else? You got 1 minute.
Get him in.
No, tonight this is like, honestly, of all the case files we've ever done, I can't believe we've never heard of this one before because of, well, one, all the like oodles and oodles of photographic, unequivocal
Photographic evidence.
Photographic evidence of UFOs and aliens. Two, just the most credible sources and like lots of them. It's unbelievable.
She, let's put it this way. She's definitely a superior source.
100%.
Superior human being.
Yeah. And we are, of course, talking about Hillary Porter.
Hillary Porter.
Hillary Porter. Dan, what's Hillary's deal?
Hillary Porter, as of the writing of her book, which is titled The Diaries and Recollections of an Alien Abductee, which includes illustrations. So,
Dan, I think you mean photos.
You mean photos.
It includes photos.
Yeah.
Photos.
Yes. Right. It doesn't say it. It says photos.
Pencil photos.
Diagrams. How about that? Diagrams. 100% accurate. I mean, diagrams.
Just Dan, just because they are made with Crayola doesn't mean they're any less credible, buddy.
She's the vice chairman of BEAMS, which is the British Earth and Aerial Mystery Society.
And the chairman, Ken.
Yeah. Ken right, is the chairman of
Ken.
BEAMS.
Chairman Ken. He's the chairman of BEAMS.
Right. And she is claims to be a lifelong alien abductee. She also has numerous experiences with other mysterious phenomenon. And she also works as a volunteer alien abduction counselor.
I'm
not sure if that's a professional. I'm not sure you can be a professional alien abduction.
Well, counselor. I
feel like we are.
I'm a volunteer alien abduction.
I guess
counselor.
We are all. Yes, we are all volunteer alien.
Actually, not. Counselors. We're professional.
Professional alien abductee counselors.
Yeah.
Well,
we're.
I mean, I don't personally. I don't have any fucking Crayola pictures to back up my credibility, but I don't know if
you don't have a certificate of. You don't have a certificate of degree in alien abduction counseling.
Unfortunately, I do not.
I can make you a degree.
You make one real quick.
I can whip one up.
A 12 color Crayola box.
I think a 32 pack.
Woohoo!
Is the one come with a sharpener at the bottom?
Damn right.
Oh man. Fuck.
Oh damn.
High class.
What are we doing here?
Yeah. Hillary Porter is or claims to be a person who has experienced a number of mysterious alien phenomena throughout her life. She claims that there's at least in her photos in her book, she has one photo from her day of her christening. And she thinks that at least from that day, that's the earliest time that she thinks that these extraterrestrials sometimes not exactly the same. So it's not in all of her experiences, there's not exactly consistency in all of the creatures or the beings that she encounters.
I mean, like she has three different categories of aliens, right?
Right. So she has a couple. So she's been in contact with these beings for at least since the day of her christening. She claims that in this photo, don't know if we're going to show it.
Yeah, I'll show it in a second here.
Okay. So she has a photo that she claims that the day of her christening, there is to be seen a hooded figure behind her grandfather who is posing for a photo with her, the rest of her family. There it is. Zell's pulling it up right there.
So,
and
if you go back to like, it's like 84, they have a zoomed in one because it's hard to see on that one.
So if you're watching the live stream, you can see what we're doing. If you're just listening to the podcast, it's beamsinvestigations.org. You can find her public PDF with all of her photos.
Yeah.
Right. It's a PDF of her illustration book that she has published.
Beams.
When was it?
One, up, right there. That one. So that's where you can see the operation in those two.
So here, this was
You mean to tell me that that weird shadowy thing is apparition, not that giant, tall, freaky looking dude there?
You know what? I never had my eyes on him until now.
Guy's terrifying. That's the grinning man? That's the grinning man right there. Holy. That guy is absolutely terrifying.
Well, that's her grandfather there, apparently. And then that, you know, whitish, clear apparition in front of him is supposed to be what she interprets as a extraterrestrial being that was perhaps interacting with her on this occasion.
And she's a newborn here. Like she's a baby.
Yeah.
And she has that kind of mental capacity where she's like, I remember this day and I remember staring at this being and I have photos to back it up. Well,
she's a superior human being.
She's got superior DNA. That's right. Yeah. Well,
she definitely says like, in this picture, you can see me as a infant. I am looking in the direction of this apparition. So therefore, she assumes that she was perceiving this creature or this this being. So she's thinking that this was a day that she started perhaps being marked for abduction or observation.
And if you're just listening, we'll explain it. It's a family photo from 1946. And yeah, she's a baby. Like they're standing in front of a stone building, and there's this
by the church. I'm pretty sure the church. This is the day of her christening. So okay, I'm makes sure, sense. Yeah, that's her church.
And yeah, over the shoulder of, I'm guessing like her father.
I'm not sure who that one is. I know her grandfather is the one who's standing with the slick back hair.
This guy's fucking terrifying. It's
fucking Lurch.
He's humongous.
So yeah, there.
And I believe she's being held by her godmother. Who she's holding.
So yeah, it's like a little a wispy apparition over the shoulder.
Right.
It's a ghost. Looks like ghost artifact.
Looks like a ghostly. You could definitely say that and not any kind of camera issue from 1940s. It's like that's a standard
the height
ghost.
Of technology back then.
Come on. Like that's 100% ghost. Alien.
So even after this, her earliest memories of her actual earliest, recollections of interacting with extraterrestrial beings, it says that she come from when she was age 3, and she recalls long robe figures entering into her room without going through doors or anything like that, like opening something like a portal or coming through the walls and being able to hand her some sort of which she assumes telepathically controlled ball of floating plasma. Like they presented her with this glowing object about the size of a tennis ball, she says. And then they would just kind of tell her to think at it, like make it do things. And the ball would float around the room, you know, and she found that quite entertaining as any 3-year-old, I'm sure would. Nice. And
any 33-year-old also.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Us too.
I'd be impressed.
I'd be fucking pissing my bed. I don't have nothing to do with that shit.
But aside from that, it must have been a warm up because apparently they would show her images on the wall of her nursery. So somehow project video images onto her wall. And she says now that she recognizes them for what they were, that they were actually depictions of struggles on Earth. I'm not sure if they were like her personal struggles, but
she said that they were either previous or future struggles of Earth.
Right. So to me, I'm like, okay, so this, like, you're showing this 3-year-old like pictures of like Nazis marching down like in front of the Reichstag and like all that stuff you can imagine. Like they play over when Cartman is, you know, fantasizing about founding the Fourth Reich or whatever. So it's just like they're showing her that. And she's a 3-year-old. And it's like, I didn't understand at the time, but now I know. And it's like, oh, okay. Right. So that happened.
Yeah.
Yes,
that was the thing.
She has the, well, she is a superior human being. So at 3 years old, her mental capacity is already through the roof.
Sure. They were preparing her for something, I suppose. For what? Not quite sure.
Not sure.
But so anyways, besides these long long robed creatures or beings that seem to hang out in her nursery, her neck's very vivid. And probably like, I think this is the first one that she really recalls is the encounter with a reptilian humanoid when she was age 5 in the summer of 1951.
Yeah.
It's a specific reptile, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a specific reptile in the sense that she goes, it's a reptilian, which we all know what that looks like. But then to reinforce it, to make sure it's not what you think it looks like at all, she goes, a reptilian, you know, like a turtle without a shell. And I went, huh? What? I'm like...
So just like a wrink, like an old wrinkly looking
ball sack, green old ball sack. So you got with no shell.
You got Franklin showing up with no shell, pulling you out of your crib.
And then she draws the stereotypical reptilian. I was like, bitch, it doesn't look like a turtle at all. I was like, these photos are shit.
It looks exactly like King Koopa from the fucking movie.
It does. Her looks picture
exactly
of it,
like King Koopa.
It's if Ryan can get it, it looks like King Koopa. But she describes it as a turtle with no shell, you know, reptilians,
right?
Which I would never have described them as that if I've never seen one though. So maybe there's a huge misconception on what we all think reptilians look like. And they just look like old leathery green ball sacks.
Wrinkly ball sacks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
This picture book's not in chronological order here.
No, it's all over the fucking place.
Yeah. It's all over the place.
Someone said like Mitch McConnell.
The encounter, she said, started after she had watched some type of saucer like craft land in the middle of the field near her home, which was in Cove, Farnborough, UK. And so she had approached this craft through the field, which had overgrown long grass at the time. And she was trying to stay out of sight of the object. Like she was trying to stealthily approach this craft as, you know, I guess a curiosity as a child would kind of take you.
Does.
Yeah.
And this, she says that she remembers this reptilian King Koopa creature, like kind of coming out of nowhere and then blocking her way, towards the, you know, blocking her view of the craft and then proceeding to drag her to the craft.
All right. There's a picture of the reptilian.
Yeah.
It looks like like a fucking reptilian. Jack, yeah, that's reptilian not too.
Skipping arm day.
Yeah, Jack, look at the biceps on that thing. But she looks much older in this picture, though. Or is this not her?
She's probably.
I don't know if that's the picture. I know there's the picture that they put in all the articles of her being dragged off. Like, is.
And you know, my favorite part about that is the fact that she's being dragged off, because you're like, you look at her now and you're like, well, maybe she was a little bit of a hefty kid and maybe these tractor beams have weight limits. So they have to track her to the fucking tractor beam.
Yeah, so these things legit, like she of her photos she has, it depicts them basically just grabbing her by the arms and dragging her through the field.
Right. She estimated the height of this creature to be at least 5 feet tall. And when she got to the ship and they took her up into it, she said she entered into some sort of black solid cylinder that came down from the craft, apparently, like from the craft itself down to the ground. After they entered into it and then they exited out, she said that there were other creatures. I don't think she gives an exact number, but she says that she remembers other like signs of movement within the craft. And it was difficult to discern the numbers because the craft inside was pretty much completely dark except for a couple of lights. And this led her to assume that these creatures didn't need light to function.
At least not visible light.
Well, hold on though, but they did. Because all their buttons had to be lit up, right? She said the control panel was all lit up, and that's how she could see the shadows moving back and forth. So I'm like, well, if they had the keyboard had to be lit up, that would say to me that they in fact did need light in the dark, or else they didn't know which buttons to push.
So what you're saying is they could have just had the lights off.
Yeah, I think they just had the lights off.
Either way, she's young, so we'll give her a break on that one.
So now, as a 5-year-old, you don't know what's going on. You're in some strange craft. And then, of course, the normal way that these things are, you know, it seems to be a common trend with alien abductions. Shortly after she's taken into this craft, she is stripped of her clothes, placed on a cold surface, and then subjected to a painful examination, which included she claimed some type of instrument that the creatures used to kind of probe her legs, I guess. One exceptionally brutal technique, I guess, left a scar, or she claims she has a lasting scar.
Oh, no, there's no claim. We saw it.
Yeah, we've seen it. It's a little, it's unequivocal proof.
Yeah, we've seen it.
It's a tiny blemish in her skin. There's actually a great interview with her on it where she must be talking with some local, like just local news channel. And she tells them, like, yeah, I have scars. They're like, can we see one? And she pulls up her pant leg and she's like, yeah, it's right here. And the girl, like, leans way in and, like, you can see her, like, rub her finger on it. And she goes, like, oh, yeah. Well, yeah, it's pretty cool. And then just leans back.
Yeah, but then she's like, yeah, what do you think about these skid marks?
Yeah, she goes, yeah. What do you think about? I got skid marks, too. And we're like.
Well, she said that they were scoop marks, like they scooped something out of her arm.
Yeah. Oh, scoop marks.
Yeah,
scoop. Skid marks. I was like, that's
skid marks. No. Like a tiny little ice cream scoop for your skin. That's what she's saying. Like, they
definitely not what that looked like.
You didn't. Oh, you were wondering why me and Andrew were giggling like little kids when she said that.
Skid marks.
Like, yeah, skid marks.
I thought you just heard it as scoop marks.
She had fucking racing stripes in her.
Now that you say it, yeah, it makes more sense.
So after this encounter, she does have other memories of not to the extent of interacting with these beings, but she does have, starting from this day, she realized that she—
Did you say beans?
No. What? Beans?
Beans.
Yeah, beans.
Like no. Chairman Beans.
Beans.
Yeah, that's what I beans. Said.
Beans.
That's what you said?
Beans. He's the chairman of beans.
Chairman of beans.
Beans.
So sorry, Dan, go on about the beans.
Yes, about the beans. So Pinto and Black and Kidney.
Don't forget about Garbanzo. It's the best one.
And Garbanzo. Chickpeas as well.
Mm. Best one.
Chickpeas counts as beans. Sure. You know?
Delicious.
Nice hummus.
I love me some hummus.
But the next one that she really says sticks in her mind is in 1955 when she was age 9. In 1955, age 9, she actually moved to another town. So she moved to Holly Estate in Farnborough, which is about 2 miles away from where she lived before. And here is where she said that she met one of her lifelong friends, Janet, and they managed to see what was that?
Oh, nothing.
He was just doing
Janet.
Yeah. It's hey, Janice.
Janice.
That's Terry Tate, office linebacker. Yeah. That's Simone's cake. Sorry.
So during the summer holidays of 1958 or 59, she's not 100% sure. She said that she and Janet were standing at the bottom of their road where they lived. And they said that in the sky, they could clearly see some type of object. They ended up witnessing some type of saucer-shaped disc. And then she describes it having some sort of dark cutout. And in fact, like she assumed this was a doorway because she said that she observed standing in it within this dark cutout shape, square shape on the side of the saucer craft. There is a quite tall and hefty looking individual dressed in white.
So
look it in a mirror,
a saucer with a silhouette doorway and then a glowing white figure in the door.
Says it is a white dressed in white. So
dressed
not
in white.
Glowing is just dressed in white, perhaps some type of robe or something like that. But for some reason it was hanging, like their saucer was flying over their heads and there's a chunky robe dude, a hefty.
So it's like Boss Hog dude. Popping out of the fucking saucer. Hey boy.
Yeah.
And she has a drawing of it. It's depicted during the day. Like,
yeah, it was during the day.
So I guess it's just really dark on the inside of the craft.
Have superior vision to be able to see
Vantablack.
Is that darkest of the darkest black?
Yeah, I think so. It absorbs all like 99% of light.
Just some saucer like zipping over their head and just some fat dude like hanging out
the
like,
side. Ladies.
Ladies.
In the picture, if you go back, it depicts her waving. She was waving at
it. I think she was pointing at it.
And it looked like a wave to me.
She's flipping him the bird.
Giving him the business.
She's pointing at it. There looked like
yeah. I can see a middle finger sticking up
there. Fuck you. That's what's happening there.
I love this story because Janet also came forward and we have many accounts of her personal account of seeing this as well. Right? Or am I mistaken?
That's my first time hearing
mistaken on that point.
Yes, because Janet's never come forward. We don't have any.
Janet's not the superior being.
Yeah, but
as Hillary.
If you're like, if I was like, if tomorrow me and Dan did a podcast and I said, me and Zell were walking around, you know, and we seen an alien. I pointed it. There was a hefty white man that was looking at us from it. I would expect you to come on and be
Braden. I'm taking it to the grave.
Listen. It's sitting right there in fucking Crayola, right in front of you. What more do you need? There's picture evidence of it. Come on now. Inquisical. Unquizzical. It's right there. What more do you need?
That's pretty good too.
Thank you.
I'd take it to the grave.
Yeah.
just leave you hanging.
Like I
don't know.
It's in Crayola. You can't dispute it. It's irrefutable.
What else do we have with...
Her next significant sighting she has is in 1962, and this one was actually during the Cuban Missile Crisis, which she vividly remembers. This is a traumatic global event for pretty much everybody, where the world seemed to stand on the precipice of a complete nuclear war. She says, like, during the night that the, like, October 28th and into the 29th, so sometime between either the late evening or early morning, she says that she was visited by a long white robed figure and who spoke to her telepathically.
You know, she says two different stories. She has two different stories here because she says long white robe, but then the photo she has, we can't show them
because
they're 18A.
Were you talking about this guy here or?
No. Oh, okay. That's the photo of that Nordic one.
Oh, well, but I don't think that's the one that she's talking about. Like she definitely says that she remembers him kind of at least looking a bit. She compared it to Jesus because she thought he was Jesus at first.
Okay, listen, if that other drawing is supposed to be Jesus, then I'm fucking Christian right now.
She said, well, she compared it to Jesus because she did say that when she looked at its hand, it was holding the hand in the typical way that you'll find statues of Jesus Christ, where it's kind of like the first, you know, thumb and index finger and your middle finger like up and then the two other fingers like closed.
Let's see it, Dan. Down. Can you do it for us?
Like that.
Whatever.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the symbol. You know, that's the Jesus hand
Jesus
symbol.
Jesus throwing up gang signs.
It's like the typical,
get the buddy Christ.
Yeah. Throwing up gang signs.
Definitely not. She definitely didn't say buddy Christ. So he's definitely wouldn't give her a thumbs up. She should have because that's way more universal. But like you guys said, this led her to believe now when she goes back and looks back on the experiences with the, the knowledge that she has now of the different types of, aliens or different races of aliens. She says she believes that this is probably one of the Nordic aliens because it resembled, so human. It was the most human-like.
Right.
Yeah.
But she said that just, it communicated with her, told her everything was going to be okay, or it was not going to cause her any harm. And then that was it. Like, that's all she remembers or all she recalls from that night.
So that one, that one doesn't want do her any harm, but the ones who pinned her to the table and scooped flesh out of her.
Well, but later she says, like, she's on record saying later that all the aliens' intentions are evil and the good memories that people have of them are like been implanted in them and they're not real. They're like fake memories.
Okay.
So, okay.
Come on.
In 1969 is probably when she starts to feel like 69. Definitely these creatures or these beings mean her harm of some type or are not as benevolent as she might think. Because on December 23rd, she suffered a miscarriage, a traumatic experience in itself at 20 weeks, as she said.
Oh, late. And, late one too.
Yeah, really late.
So after this, she says that she had a follow-up visit after the event And she was going to a female doctor where she had been before. In her book, she says a female doctor she had been before. I'm not sure this was like her attending doctor which had, you know, been with her through the pregnancy. But she said that when she went to this doctor, she was shocked to find that they didn't have a record of her pregnancy. So this is when she said that she started to suspect that perhaps medical practitioners knew.
Are they aliens?
Not necessarily that they're the aliens, but that perhaps they had knowledge that the alien hybrid
program
fetuses were being implanted in women.
So they're part of the cover.
But why would they know? Like, all right, I don't want to pick this apart too much, but like, why would they not have a record then? Like, say if they were in it, like, wouldn't they fake a record and be like, yeah, you had a perfectly healthy baby glorup.
She kind of goes on to the theory where she believes that they were trying to hide from her, like she had, like anything had happened. So they're like, well, we don't have you any record. It's just safer that way for them to be like, claim that we have no record. There's no extra explanation. There's no extra documentation that needs to exist. You're just like, we don't have any record of you ever being pregnant or this pregnancy.
But then for her to say like, oh, well, obviously the doctors are in on it. Well, I would be like, she misses all this time. She has this, maybe this was all like, maybe she was missing enough time where she had implanted memories. For her to tell all her stories and be like, the doctor's got to be in it. I'm like, well, why wouldn't it be the aliens?
Listen, like, you know, they're already in on the plandemic. So come on.
Yeah.
These guys are pocketing money from fucking
left and right.
So she has a hybrid, like, miscarriage, hybrid
baby miscarriage. Perhaps that the miscarriage had been a result of an alien fetus being implanted in her, because she says she recalls during this event that the doctor, because she had the miscarriage during, I think it was like her mother-in-law's birthday at the time when she was married.
Well, everybody knows, like, it was humans can't have miscarriages, so that does line up. It does make sense.
And so the doctor would not allow her to see it, or took it away really fast when it did happen.
Don't want
and so she didn't get a chance to see it.
That seems like the last thing you'd want
don't
to experience.
Want yeah. to see it.
Especially if it was a half alien.
Well, that's why she says that perhaps that's why they wouldn't let her see it. She's saying that maybe if she would have saw it, she would have saw that it was some type
had
of,
four, you know,
it would have
six
had features
arms.
That she could tell that it was a definitely not a human.
Or you'll be traumatized for the rest of your fucking life, because it's not pretty thing at all.
a very, very
it's awful.
It's high possibility that it's also happening.
Fucking traumatizing.
So the doctors are in on the scam.
This is what she begins to suspect. So in 1972, Hillary's daughter is born, but prematurely, and she was weighed like 2 pounds and 11 ounces.
Oh shit.
And, after the birth, in her book, I think there is, some evidence of like complications or something during the pregnancy or during the birth. And she said that she had to receive stitches, after the actual birth, which caused her severe discomfort. And she had to wait at least 10 months to be able to receive corrective surgery to take care of the problem.
Oh, brutal.
Now, when she went into the hospital, this reads like a just straight out horror story. But when she went into the hospital, she said it was kind of supposed to be like a relatively simple procedure, supposed to be kind of in and out. She was only supposed to be under anesthesia for like not that long, maybe a couple hours or whatever. But she said that the anesthesia pretty much knocked her out for 17 hours. And she says that when she awoke, she recalls it being around sometime prior about 4 a.m. and she felt the need to go to the bathroom. So she got up out of the bed, and on the way to the bathroom, she said that she felt compelled, or something just kind of triggered in her mind that she noticed or took notice of this light green cupboard that she had seen the day before. And she goes in and she says she felt like she had to open it or look what it was inside. So when she opened it, she said that she saw inside there pretty much no less than 30 jars of these deformed fetuses, which she said ranging from 3 months to 25 weeks. And that these fetuses were definitely didn't look human.
Where's the screen cabinet? She described
them having large black eyes with no eyelids, no ears. It's just
in the room unlocked with her.
It's just some large green cabinet. She's like, it's not even, yeah, it's not in any locked room. I think she just said she saw this green cabinet and she had, she said they had feet, but no toes.
So she had a snooze for 17 hours.
Right.
And she goes in the creepy fetus room.
Yeah.
She must have had fucking Michael Jackson.
It's like, well, I got to go to the bathroom, but I also got to look into this green cupboard that was probably glowing. I don't know.
Yeah, 100% glowing with some smoke, and the doors were like
the Jumanji music's playing in the background.
She said that all of these fetuses appeared to have some sort of strange or similar strange red mark on the middle of their chests, and that they seemed to be ordered by age. So you had like the smaller jars, I guess, ordered like up to the big jars.
So this is still in the hospital.
Yeah,
she was still in the hospital.
Wow, could have been an alien spaceship at all, for all we know at this point.
It could just be a false memory.
Could have beamed her up already.
So she just checks out this cabinet. There's a bunch of jars of developing fetuses in jars.
Yeah,
aliens. Definitely that don't appear to be human.
They have small eyes, less facial features, and they look like a gray alien.
That. I guess your typical description of a gray alien. And so, she went to the bathroom and then she kind of didn't think about it, I guess, because she says she went home and she didn't really think about it until way later.
The alien
fetuses. I feel like that would be in your fucking nightmares for the rest of your life.
That would be probably in the forefront of my mind the entire time I was in that room. Didn't
think about it. I wouldn't have been able to sleep. It's not a big deal. I'd be like, somebody needs to fucking know about this.
Like, whip that thing open. Like, why are you guys keeping jars of fetuses in the rain on the way to the bathroom?
It would literally be my first question when the nurse came to check on me. I'd be like, what's with that green cabinet full with all the alien babies
in
there?
Who the fuck did you hire to decorate this place? This is a problem.
She got stitches. So was she on like some type of like anesthesia or something? Like,
well, that's what I said, that she had to go under for anesthesia for them to remove these stitches.
Okay.
Or to actually, I don't know if it was some sort of corrective surgery, some sort of corrective process that they had to do. So they had to knock her out for it. So I think she said the anesthesia lasted longer than they had planned it to. So she was only supposed to be there, I think, like 1 or 2 days, but ended up being there like 3 days because of some sort of complication with the anesthesia. Said she was out for 17 hours, which wasn't supposed to happen.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Conrad Murray.
So the next one, she at this point, I believe she starts keeping like a UFO diary. She starts keeping records of her sighting like mysterious objects and things like this. Pretty much anytime. She has pretty good recall of most of these events.
Yeah.
But there are some that stand out from the rest. Let's see.
Something tells me she maybe took some like community college art courses because her drawings get substantially better.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's
I think she also got a degree in seismology at one point.
Yeah. And do we want to talk about that? We want to come back to that.
Yeah.
Take a break.
Yeah. We'll come back to that. We'll take a quick refill.
Talks about her alien team up.
Yeah. It's a
intergalactic team up.
Nice.
After the break.
A nice ET meeting on the beach. We'll be right back.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today. That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
We're back.
So, along with her qualifications as a superior human being, apparently Hillary Porter,
which we haven't gone through yet, but we'll get to that. But she's also?
She's also apparently an interplanetarily known
seismologist.
Explain this. This is ridiculous.
So in 1977, she says that she had a sudden memory recall, and she recalled a memory that she suspects had probably been part of what she calls a cover memory, which is a concept that has been brought up in other alien abduction cases where it is suspected that during some of these abductions, certain beings will, the abductors will implant false memories mm-hmm. over the memories of abductions or encounters. Therefore, it you know, some people theorize that this is perhaps an easier way than having to delete the whole memory itself. You know, it's a bit more surreptitious where it's like you can just like slide in a false memory of something similar that like happened. It's like
Rick and Morty where he...
Mind blowers.
Or if you've ever seen People of Earth, which is a great show. There's only two seasons of it, but that show is fucking great.
Well, they suck the memory out.
Yeah, and then in 1977, they implanted the memory of when she joined the Vindicators.
Fuck. Stole my joke.
So,
you son of a bitch. Oh,
Joe, there we go.
You want to say it louder?
No. Fuck you.
In this particular memory, Hillary said that she observed some humanoid aliens performing seismic tests on the breach of the River Severn, which is, I guess, it's east of, west, over to the west of Cove or whatever, I guess a popular vacation spot or holiday spot. And so when she saw these creatures doing these things there, she approached them. And they asked her to join the team.
How the fuck? It makes fucking perfect. That's probably why she packed on all those fucking pounds. Let's be honest here, boys.
Seismic testing?
Well, they're like, all right, lady, you hop on this fucking diving board and just belly flop. Let's test it. Let's see how it goes.
So her memory that she recovers or she has, she's on the beach. There's aliens.
There's aliens on this beach, and she sees
with
them,
and graphs,
and she knows exactly
what they're doing. They're in green coveralls. She says they're wearing like green coveralls, like they're just like they're suited up to do science.
They're on the beach. Like, they should be wearing fucking jean cutoffs, playing volleyball, listening to Playing with the Boys.
No, they're doing science. They have to be wearing coveralls,
and she just knows that they're doing seismology somehow.
I don't think she knows they're doing seismology until they tell her, actually. She goes up to them like,
join the team.
Well, she walks up to them and she says she implies they just kind of noticed her, like noticing them. And they're like, hey, you want to help us out?
And then they get her to run along the beach, which to Andrew's point makes sense that maybe she was doing the seismic test. By running.
I could see that. Could see them holding those little water glasses like in Jurassic Park with the fucking boom.
Yeah. As far as I can tell, I don't think Hillary is not a seismologist. She's not a geologist of any type. She's never studied geology of any type.
She's also not a vindicator.
I'm going to tell you right now, she probably didn't get up to a pretty high speed either.
No.
Let's be honest.
She said after these creatures seem to appear to have completed their tests or their surveys or whatnot, they instructed her, like she said, to run down the beach, and they were like all going, I guess all the aliens were like, hey, run down the beach towards these houses that you see over there, and then head over to the clearing between them, and then enter into a vehicle that'll be waiting there for you.
So she does that fucking badass, you know, Rocky montage down the beach in Rocky 3. Yeah. Racing Apollo Creed.
Well, I imagine it more like Ferris Bueller's Day Off, like just like jumping over fences and stuff, like
running through fences, I imagine.
And when she she says at first in her memory, she recalled like seeing like multiple small vehicles, but then she says her memory kind of shifts, and then she actually sees or perceives a 20-foot oval UFO that is waiting for her. And then she's taken on board just this for craft, her. And then she's able to observe these beings like flying the craft, operating the craft. And then she said that there is she vividly remembers a display, which showed like a grid-like map, and what she recognized was actually like the geography of where she was. And then that there was like a small blip on there, and that was the representation of the craft that was moving through there. And then she also remembers there being a curved transparent window apparently on the front of the craft to be able to view, and you could have like a good view of out what's going on in front of the craft and, you know, below you. And then she says that that's where her memory ends. Like,
so
just she gets, stops.
She gets picked up on the seismology team on the beach.
Yeah.
She's lured, taken back to a craft that seems to be waiting for her, where then they show her the inner workings of the UFO.
I, not even that. They just like bring her on. They're just like, okay, it's like flight of the navigator time, and we're going to like just take off,
they,
I guess.
Like, I mean, they obviously spotted those superior genetics from pretty far away. They knew what they're doing.
That's it was, they scanned her.
Yeah, they knew.
This is a one of a kind human right here.
Well, what they were doing is they were looking to size her for some green coveralls.
So after this one, I think is when she starts getting more, her experiences seem to be more and more, she becomes more and more like physically affected by this, to leave a little bit more physical evidence, according to her. In 1978, she said that she had observed a long tube-like UFO for a second. She, like, she observed this UFO moving over her neighborhood for a long period of time, or what she perceived as a long period of time. And this, when it approached her, it actually somehow, there was no mention of like a light or anything. It seemed to appear over her. If you're looking at the live stream, yeah, it had like one light, it had like a green light and like a white light on the back. And she said that when it hovered over her, she dropped down, apparently paralyzed by this craft.
She was the only one present,
but she did manage to drag her. It wasn't total paralysis. She just felt like she couldn't move, or she was having difficulty moving.
Hey, it's a Leo from.
I have a just quick question.
Is Janet there?
No. So Andrew, can you kind of have paralysis like this if you're having a stroke or have a stroke?
100%. Well, definitely, you can have whatever side deficits in the situation.
The only reason I say that is because of all the interviews that we've watched with her. Like, she has some serious face droopage, and I wonder if she's had a stroke or has had a stroke.
She definitely looks like she has facial droop, like she has a permanent deficit from a previous stroke.
Right.
And definitely.
When I look, then when I read this about, she looks up,
she's stroking a light, out. She's a fucking.
She has a stroke and then is potentially paralyzed. I don't mean to make a joke about a stroke.
I'll tell you right now, I've responded to fucking more strokes than I can count, and I've never heard anyone say they've seen a fucking spaceship or hallucinated in any shape or form.
So yeah, and she also says that she managed to drag herself. Like, she managed to drag herself inside of the house.
That lines up though with having deficits on one side, because yeah, one side of your body's working.
Yeah, and your other side's not.
I'm just picturing Leo from Wolf of Wall Street when he gets all fucked up.
Totally, man.
He's just trying to crawl into the car.
I'm not kidding. That right there looks like a stroke. Those symptoms, like the
just paralysis. Trying to drag your body like that?
100%.
Maybe.
And she says that she managed to drag herself. Her number one concern at the time was her daughter, because she was, at this point, at least, she was recently divorced.
Yeah.
She was living with her, raising her daughter as a single mom. And she was worried about her daughter. I think even the time, like, I don't think she can remember. She did talk about like having a feeling that these things were here for her daughter. She was worried that the experiences that she was having, her daughter would be subjected to the same.
She's got half those superior genetics, so.
Yeah, she's
prime target. Yeah,
so she said that she managed to drag herself up the stairs to her daughter's room, and then she like flopped into her daughter's bed and would like fully clothed with her shoes on, everything, whatever. But then she says that she remembers waking up, and then upon regaining consciousness, she said that she found this
yeah, burns.
Painful burn, or what appeared to be some type of burn, or a type of rash or something along one side of her body, or at least on one side of her face.
I mean, listen, I just want to do a quick little fucking disclaimer here. If you have to drag yourself up into your bed because half the side of your body's not working,
mm-hmm.
call 911. You're probably having a stroke.
Yeah, fast.
Time is brain.
Yeah, fast.
The faster you get into the fucking hospital, the faster they can do TPI. Like, just don't do that. Call 911, please.
So, well, she doesn't do any of those things.
I know.
She has
facial, arm, speech, time.
She has this she wakes up with this really bad rash that she said that it's some sort of painful rash on the side of her face. She said she tried to apply an ointment.
You know why? It's because she was dragging herself face down through all the poison
carpet burns on the side of her face, hence the skid marks. It's all making sense.
But it's a good thing though, because it was only a Saturday morning and she had no plans that weekend. Mm-hmm. So she didn't have to go in public.
No. And then by Sunday evening, the rash was completely
gone. Did she take any pictures of the rash as a curiosity?
Well, no.
Or did she draw some fucking Crayolas?
She drew a picture, so that's as good as a photo.
Yeah, she drew some Crayolas. So
and it healed up miraculously on Sunday.
She's got superior genetics. She's got a healing factor, just like Wolverine.
Yes.
She heals 1,000 times faster.
Can we get to the bottom of this really quick? Like, am I skipping too far ahead? Or can we explain why she feels like she's being abducted more than anybody?
What she describes as the turning point. Like, this is probably one of the most significant of her encounters. Now, she said on October 10th of 1994, this is what is known kind of as like the white jumper incident.
Yeah.
So she woke up this day apparently with she is a sufferer of migraines.
As like many are, yeah.
What's the word for that? I can't remember the
migraines.
Constantly.
What's up, sorry?
Well, when you're constant she's migraine. Like a serial sufferer of migraines. Like she has migraines all the time.
Chronic migraines.
Chronic migraines, there you go.
yeah. I thought you wanted like the
medical term.
Yeah, I'm like, no. It's like she's a chronic migraine.
Sometimes brain pulls through, you know.
Hey, sometimes you get stumped on those low level words. Come to me. It's all
the low level words.
That's why we work best as a team. Yeah. I mean, come on. Teamwork makes
everyone
the
plays
work.
A part.
So then she woke up with what she describes as like a strange bruise on her arm. Like a bruise that apparently like she could see like veins coming out from it, like darkened veins like going into it. And then on this thing, she's like, okay, well this happened. She assumed this is perhaps some sort of evidence of she's been taken, because I think at this point she's kind of accepted that she's been being abducted by aliens.
Multiple times.
Yeah.
But the thing that apparently doesn't set her off that much, because she's like, well, I'm not going to, she doesn't go to the doctor, doesn't call 911, whatever. But the thing that she found very unusual is that she took out this white jumper, which apparently she had purchased in the springtime. And now it started to get cold. So she took out this white jumper from her closet and she found these unusual brown orange stains on it, which she didn't remember ever having on
it. So now we're getting to the skid marks.
Full
circle.
So on this day, she decided, I guess this was the day that she was going to get to the bottom of this. She said that she went to like a couple of bookstores, like one town over or whatnot, and looking for books on the subject of alien abduction. And so she came across at least one book that mentioned a type of substance that a number of abductees had described as having a similar color to the stains that were on her jumper. She had seen her jumper, and she said that this book described that the book claimed that this substance would a lot of times evaporate after the abduction, so they would leave no evidence. And so she felt that she was actually lucky that this substance on her jumper was perhaps the same material or something.
Is this the material that on that one,
that they wanted to see the pictures of.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's the one.
And they said she would submit it to the TV network for analysis.
And she did, right. So if you find that video on YouTube of her on Good Morning, it's just Good Morning something. Listen, it's a UK morning show.
You have to go through 7 minutes of like interior home before you get to the interview.
You can skip ahead.
Oh, quite a while.
So yeah, they had her on this popular British morning show, and this is when she said yes. Like they asked her about the thing, like, would you let us test it? And she said yes. And so in her book, she says that she agreed to have it tested, and she sent it to them. And you know, she had to sign a waiver to say that, you know, if it's destroyed or damaged, you know, as you would, like, because it's
your property,
take a sample, they're going to cut out a piece of it or whatever they're going to do with it. If it's damaged or destroyed, you know, you were not responsible for whatever. So she sent it in. And then she said that she kind of got like a letter back that said, like, we didn't, they sent the jumper back to her. They said,
fecal matter. That doesn't make sense.
We didn't find anything. They said, we didn't find anything of consequence, apparently, like this summary, to sum it up. And she felt
a stain was nothing.
Well, she felt deceived because she's like, I know something was on there, and they found nothing. And then she said that You know, they sent it back and it was pretty much destroyed because she showed a picture of like the jumper and they had just cut out like a piece of it. And then that was gone. Like it was a piece of the sleeve, like the upper sleeve. I guess they had cut out like one of the stands.
Yeah, it's fine. Everything's good. It's good as new.
So she said that she got like some of it back and she managed to submit it to another like independent, like forensic investigator to take a look at it. And the one thing that she found that was very interesting is they reported back saying that they found higher than normal radiation, background radiation. on the jumper.
Like, what's the normal level
and
of?
She said, and she pretty much in the book, she says, aha, you know, suck it. Good morning. Like, yeah, this is proof.
So does every piece of clothing have like a background radiation that you can detect?
Well,
is that what she's saying?
My kind of theory was like, she sent the whole thing in, like they might've, you know,
contaminated it.
Spectroscopy or something like that. They had bombarded it with some type of radiation to kind of be like,
to analyze it.
Whatever.
Right. Yeah. I
don't know 100%, like, because it's not in there in her book and it's not a description. There's nowhere like a record of it to like what tests they performed on it, but it could possibly be something like they just hit it with radiation or something to be like, whatever, like, or if it was around something maybe radioactive. But I mean,
so then
from what they could tell.
So then she applied or she took it to like she did her own study and they're like, yeah, there's a little bit of radiation on this baby. And she's like, God damn, I knew I got abducted.
Got him.
Hey, Dan, real quick, were you looking for chronic migraines or cluster headaches?
Migraines. She says migraines. Okay. So.
Yeah, I was right.
Normally we call them
It could be cluster headaches. She just says migraines.
What's the difference between cluster headaches and migraines?
Well, it's the frequency. Clusters. You get them in large clusters, you'll get multiple of them.
If just one, it's a migraine.
More importantly, let's get into why her.
Wow.
Superior human being.
Yeah, well, exactly. Like it's a proven fact that people from, you know, Wales, Ireland, Scotland, those type of areas carry superior genetics. Because when we talk about superior genetics, we'd like to focus on people who can't be in the sun longer than 20 minutes, right?
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
I find it, this really fucking is funny because like I'm half Irish, if you don't know this about me. And every ounce of my Irish DNA has resulted in 5'7", balding hairline at fucking 30 years old and everything else, tiny calves, everything. Get nothing good from that shit.
Is that a thing Irish people are known for? Tiny calves?
Yeah, that's what happened, Andrew.
This half Irish guy is.
Yeah, it's bullshit. But definitely when you look,
like, you get a bunch of people of like Irish fans like sending in pictures of their calves now.
Calf check.
Yeah.
Actually, I might get my chicken. I might have got my chicken legs from the Habib side, but no, seriously. Google this woman and just for, I'm just curious if the first thing that pops in your head is superior genetics. That's because
Now, does she make the claim? I don't remember in her book going through it, but just like, does she do that in one of her articles or like her interviews or she claims?
She 100% claims that she's been chosen because
genetic makeup.
She has superior DNA.
That's why she's been chosen or like targeted since she was a child.
Why? She says that's superior DNA.
From where she's from, people from those areas of the world have superior genetics.
I heard she ran 40 and 4.33.
Probably. I would like to see how many fucking reps a bench.
Maybe like 40 feet. 40. She might do 40 feet in 4 seconds. She's like lucky.
Pinnacle of
human speed.
The thing is, it's like everybody, we're all being assholes here. We're not fat shaming or anything, but like this woman put work in, like those jowls, man. Like that's just not like a little bit of like obesity. Like this is work.
But have you seen her calves?
Like, no,
they're big.
They're jacked.
Jacked calves.
They're, you know what though? Lots of big people have jacked calves.
Well, they have to. They're called cankles.
You hold up a lot of weight.
You have to. But so she goes home, like, because I didn't read this in her book, but it's like just on one of her interviews, she 100% says like, I assume they're abducting me because I have superior genetics.
She vividly said like, people who have more than one chin have superior genetics.
She did not. She did not fucking say that.
Well, maybe there's a little bit of exaggeration there, but
God damn it. I'm paraphrasing.
Come on, man.
She does insinuate that that's perhaps why she goes into depth about her eggs, and that's what they're after is human eggs and sperm.
Well, yeah, not just her eggs, it's other abductees.
Right. One of her experiences, she says she has like vivid memories, or she has recollections of seeing like other female abductees like holding alien hybrid children, or have they're like observing long lines and crutches, like, you know, the little pods filled with alien hybrid embryos and whatnot. So she's like, she's very set on the idea that these beings are have some sort of like a, you know, crossbreeding thing going on here.
Oh, 100%.
Well, we just talked to Michael Masters about aliens from the future,
and Dr. Michael Masters.
That is apologies.
A fucking beauty. Let's wait till that interview is gonna be awesome.
Goes by Bill.
Yeah, go, or by
his
or
friends
Bill.
Call him Bill.
Guy we parties. Know him as Bill.
He does. He parties.
We're cool enough to know him by Bill. Yeah.
But that's what he was saying is that aliens from the future have lost the ability to like reproduce normally, so they are going back in time to take eggs from human females.
Which makes sense because
with superior genetics.
Look at the size of the little gray's wombs. They would be tiny. The gestation period would last for gestation period would be like 4 days.
Okay. And if we're getting into the topic of like Mike Masters and his theories.
Oh, you're just going to drop it, aren't you?
What?
Nasty in the pasty.
Yeah. How does that nasty? Well, here's the thing. It's like, you know, we talked with him about all these, why potentially are all these aliens coming back to the same people? And perhaps if they can time travel and it's various versions of us from various distant futures, what has seemed to be a lifelong experience of abduction has been her maybe being looked at by the small, say, let's say the Nordics, which are the closest to us. So maybe that's a few thousand years from now. They checked in on her throughout her life. And then because we have this, the Nordics have this log of like, oh yeah, we abducted this person in these times. Maybe, you know, another thousand years in the future, it's the tall grays and they're coming to see her various different times, right?
Bunch of follow-up appointments.
Exactly. Right. Up until reptilians and stuff where they no longer care. They're just dragging her through the house. like we don't care anymore. Like we're so far beyond you.
Where's Mario?
Yeah. but like, you know, I could see something like that. One of the things I really wanted to touch on though, because it gave me a great visual is that she describes one of the crafts and how it possibly work. And she said, no human could board these
in traditional means or something.
Yeah. Cause they're interdimensional crafts. You know, and she says that, from what she's seen, the entities on board these crafts are molecularly tuned in to the structure and fabric itself. And I just imagined a saucer, you walk in, just a bunch of bulk-haired bills with their little bodies just dangling around. Because they're just heads are part of the bulk.
Random body parts sticking out of the fucking ship.
Yeah, she does throw out the idea that perhaps these creatures operate on a kind of different like existential vibration frequency where they exist on a different like a vibrational plane because she's like, how else, you know, she reasons this by saying like, how else could they seem to pass through the walls of my house and like come through and visit me? It, without using doors or anything like that, they seem to just step through the doors, you know, seemingly immaterial, and then boom, and then they're solid as anything. Like,
yeah, she said they like seem to like come through the wall, like a light emitted from the wall, and then these beings would step out. There's actually, I'm going to show one more picture. It's maybe the greatest photograph that she says.
Sexy.
It's the short grays coming out of the wall.
Right.
Yeah. One's
doing a sexy crawl. Oh,
that's the one that she said. Yeah, there always used to be she describes a number of grays and multiple occasions coming to visit her. And she says that there's one taller than the other ones. She said that she could identify the one that would always come up to her and seem to like look into her eyes.
Sexy looks like he's somehow. Fucking trying. Like, he's I feel like that crawler. Picture's seducing me right now.
What she assumed is like he was trying to scan her mind, or he scanned her mind. So she called him the mind scan man.
Getting ripped tonight.
So, that sounds like a David Bowie song. So that should happen. Mind scan man.
All
right.
It's something else.
It's this tale. there's a lot to unpack with
it's
her
a good
story.
Tale.
Because there's a ton to unpack.
And like, honestly,
we'd be here for days.
Yes, yes. it goes on and on and on. What do we think? What do we think it is? Is this woman this genetic specimen, genetic freak like Scott Steiner, getting picked up nonstop.
Maybe they're like, maybe they got their hands on some like really old fucking texts from like the 1800s. And they're like, oh, like they say obese people are fucking, those are the guys. Those are the ones that are in charge.
Those are the rich ones. Those are the best ones.
Those are the guys. We got to find one.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about a lot of UFO and abduction cases. This one, I don't.
Crayola don't lie, man. The Crayola.
Well, there's zero corroborating evidence
ever
against all ever. Her story. It's all her. No first-hand one is accounts. Even
like that's it. Janet.
I mean, where's I Janet? For Janet? Where's Janet?
What about Ken? What about the Master of Beans?
Damn it,
yeah.
Janet.
Where the fuck is Ken?
Yeah,
Chancellor of Beans.
Chancellor of Beans.
Chairman of Beans.
Chairman of Beans. He wouldn't be hanging around for no reason.
I think they're together.
Right? Yeah, they are. They are together.
Yeah, they're together now. So they're the chairman and the vice chairman of Beans, which is the British Earth and Aerial Mysteries Society, beansinvestigations.org. You can check it out. I mean, that's where you can get access to all her pictures and stuff, you know, and all the people they've worked with. There's not a lot of information. I don't know what they're...
There's like, okay, 90 pages of her art diary.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, yeah, I mean,
it's
there's if Janet would have came forward or someone else with corroborating stories, you'd be like, okay, well, that this of all the ones we've talked about, this one has the least supporting evidence, but also the most stories of one person.
If you go to the Beams website, they have this like thing where you can submit photos of cryptids and stuff, which I was like, oh, okay, well, maybe. You know, maybe this could be interesting. If you go to the Facebook chat, I sent you the link. So this was the most reading sighting of a 9-foot tall Mothman submitted to the Beans site and verified by Beans. And again, it's unequivocal proof, right? It's cited 2021, April 3rd.
It can be irrefutable, man.
Like, look at that. Look at that photo evidence.
Unequivocal. That's the photo?
That's the photo.
Hey, listen, that's pretty fucking good. It's not in Crayola, but it's pretty good.
That's actually...
Does
it say photo? I can't read from here, but it's like, is it say photo on it?
It says with pictures.
I mean, this is with pictures. Is that the photo,
That's
though?
The picture, Dan.
Here's the
okay, opening... Okay, well, that's the picture, but it didn't say photo.
Here's the opening text. Hi, Ken and Hill. In the early hours of the morning, I saw a Mothman-type cryptid creature outside of my back garden. I know this sounds absolutely absurd, but it's true.
You gotta believe it. And that's
is that the only picture?
Well, when I look at
that's it.
Oh, so that was recently, yeah.
Yeah. When I look at that silhouette, that's Mothman. That's him.
Well, kudos for them.
He's got more bat wing style.
Yeah.
Well, still getting reports. Mothman.
That's the best photo of Mothman I've ever seen.
Where's his antennas?
Yeah. Well, it looks like he's got antennas. Some hair going on. Or,
I don't see any antennas.
Okay.
So,
well, final thoughts on this
guy. He's got a long hair going on. It's a quarantine hair.
Yep. It's for me, I'm like, you listen to the interviews and stuff and you see her point out her little circular scar. And the problem I have, the biggest problem I have with Hillary Porter is that when she talks, like even in the interview, she goes, I have a photo. And she hands these two news reporters a photo and they look and they show it to the camera. And you're like, that's not a photo.
You drew it.
You drew a picture. You drew a picture that's not a photo. I'm like, why would you call it a photo? And she does that a lot. Like, you know, I have all these photos of this stuff. And it's like, no, you don't. You have drawings. You've drawn these things. I have a really, really hard time believing her story. Just about any aspect of it, which is she has all the telltale signs of someone that I don't believe. She's trying to profit off it, you know. She uses it for her personal gain, right? Her story doesn't make sense. There's never anyone around when this is happening, even though
other
she says
Janet.
Other people and a dog, but no one else comes. No one else is willing to put, you know, come forward and say like, hey, I was with her and they scooped her up and dragged her away. And we saw this big, hefty Santa looking man in the Vanta Black UFO, broad daylight, no other sightings during that day, but we seen it. Like, there's no corroborating evidence whatsoever. Her credibility for me is in the absolute mud.
On a scale from one to Gimlin, what are you giving her credibility?
Zero. Zero Gimlins.
Zero Gimlins.
Zero to Gimlin.
Yeah, zero to Gimlin. Scale. Credibility.
That's a new scale.
Zero. It's a shame because when she starts to talk about her memories from a baby, I'm like, hey, what? You don't remember this, right? Like you watch interviews with her. She speaks just like me. Mushmouth.
But she's got an excuse. She had a stroke. What's your excuse?
Well, I don't know. Maybe I have some of those superior genes too.
All right, Edgar.
Oh man.
It's just a hard one. It's a hard one to look at because it's so fucking wild and out there. And it's like, yes, I was basically visited by every kind of alien. And she then will, like, in interviews, she'll be like, oh, I met all these people and we just instantly knew each other. And how do you explain that? And I'm like, well, you had a connection. You guys were all probably excited to talk about your UFO experiences. Like, you would have a connection. What? So you would, did you know your name? Did you know each other's names prior? No.
You got any Oscar music, though?
No, I don't.
Check.
Sorry. All right, go ahead.
You always oh, okay. And Andrew, what does Andrew think about this case? No, you're up next. Let's go.
Hey, I'm going to leave it with this. Crayola don't lie, man. Simple as that. I've seen it. It's legit to me.
There you have it. I mean, I'm going to give, I'm giving her mad props for the amount of effort and detail put into her story. The countless drawings and interviews and just the sheer amount of will to say that I've been visited by not just like the Greys, but the Nordics, tall Greys, reptilians.
And all the medical professionals in the UK are in on it.
The cowled ones.
Like she's really put together quite the tale here. And I'm going to give her mad props for that. But as far as all the UFO abduction or alien sightings encounters, low on the Gimlin scale for me. Fun story. Good for her. Like she's done her, she's kept at it. She's never let off. She's been doing it for a long time. So
she's got bills to pay, man.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, you come across one that just,
the chairman of Beans would be pissed if she recanted.
Sometimes you got to call one of these out. I mean, not every story draws interest to the UFO or alien phenomenon. And this is one that would push people the opposite way. They're like, no way. No, I'm not looking into this one. But
yeah.
Dan, what do you think?
Yeah. The lack of corroborating evidence, the lack of a Janet coming forward and really backing up her story is
the Chancellor of Beans
weighs down.
Doesn't give you any credibility.
Definitely sends it into like the sub negative Gimlin scale down there.
Yeah. Yeah, we're getting on the Patterson side of the scale.
you have a person here who is obviously like, she's intelligent. Like she's not a dummy. And what she's done, or they've organized this group to get together and a support group, for lack of a better word, for alien abductees, people who think, or people who have experienced alien abduction. And if you read her book and like you kind of, if you, you know, kind of read between most of the stuff, if you don't just go in for the alien abduction stuff, she has had a rather rough life.
Yeah.
Like she has suffered a number of traumatic experiences, which could probably trigger a couple of things. Like she said that she's never submitted herself to a like a hypnotherapist, other alien abduction cases have pretty much been like, you know, that's the go-to.
Yeah,
you know, you go to the hypnotic regression or whatever.
Sprinkles.
She said that she's never been motivated to do that because she fears that it would unlock something even more terrifying.
You know, right. it seems like a lot of bad stuff has happened to her, and it's maybe one of those things where she's looking to blame outside forces.
Right.
For a lot of it.
And it could be something like that. I could see it being doing something like that. Again, she's had at least the one extremely traumatizing miscarriage. She's had, I don't know if that was her only one. I think there might've been one or two, you know, going through a divorce, you know, having to raise her daughter on her own, also having these experiences or these, that are going on, she's unable to explain. She never attended a therapist. She never tried to do any of that stuff or go to a psychologist. It seems like she never reported any of this stuff to a medical professional to be like, this stuff is happening to me. Doesn't seem like it in her book, at least.
Well, they're all in on it, so it's not going to help anyways.
Right. So could this be a result of that kind of like a buildup of the trauma or something like that? I could see that possibly happening. But she also might, 100% believe that she's been visited by aliens. The one thing that really got me was that in a Vice article, there was a Vice article where they visited a meeting, like a kind of support group for alien abductees, and Hillary Porter and her partner, Ken.
Chancellor of Beans, put some respect on that name.
The chairman of Beams, chairman and co-chairman of Beans. And then they asked her, like one of the questions they asked her was like, what would you like to say, or what message would you send to the aliens? And Hillary replied with, what, just hi, really? I don't think they mean us any harm. And I was kind of like, are you serious? They put you through, it sounds like in most of your stuff, they put you through super traumatic experiences. Like when you were 5 years old, they stripped you down and threw you onto a table and like subjected you to a brutal examination. Like that doesn't
that left
sound
you
like,
with lifelong if scars. Anything, and skid marks.
If anything, they might not mean us harm, but they definitely don't have concern for our well-being.
It's weird because I read something where she said like they have all evil intentions.
Well, she flipped flops, good, right?
She flip-flopped. Well, yeah.
Yo-yoing.
So she flipped over. Then maybe, so.
Yeah.
Maybe there's maybe it's not her anymore. Maybe
she's got a lot of accounts.
It's definitely hard for me to take seriously. Like I said, the lack aliens, of corroborating evidence is just the biggest thing for
the
me.
The aliens have infiltrated Beams. Like, that's not the real Hillary.
It's all...
That's why we got the droopage. Yeah.
But I'm telling you, Beams...
the bad shapeshifter?
Beams has been infiltrated. It's been compromised.
You heard it here.
That's a Hillary suit. That's what it's saying.
It's terrible.
Anyways, sorry.
Every once in a while, every once in a while we come across one that
it's a bad one.
You got to get into them because they're part of the ufology, and you got to look into them.
But like I said, there's a hashtag. Look it up. There's a lot to unpack on this.
Look
one.
It up.
This one was fun to look in because it was like lighthearted and you get a good laugh and stuff like that. But like, usually I liked like what? I look forward to trying to like. Debate with you guys, but like when you're like, well, what do you think? Like, I have nothing to say because this is so obviously fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, she's disproved it herself with all these ridiculous stories.
But what if?
Maybe. I don't know.
What if?
Like,
it's so true.
Just her flipping open the cabinet that, I just imagine this like cabinet, like with a green glow on the inside with like the dry ice smoke coming out of it. And you're like, boom, alien fetuses. You're like, what? Like, why would you keep those in a cabinet in a hallway?
Why would you not say some, like, anything about that like a refrigerator to room?
Not even locked, just there. Just anyone could just open it.
Yeah, not even refrigerated or anything. We're just like, yep, we'll just leave them in here. Just put them in that. Not even, not locked, anything. Just, not guarded. They'll be standing there. Just
fun one.
Yeah, that was fun.
Look into it. Go check out all her artwork, or not her.
Yeah,
photographs.
You can check out her free illustrate. That is her free book. I think she's published two books. So she has the illustration one, which is free PDF on her website, and then she has the actual one, which is like it's like $2 on Amazon.
Are we not talking about fucking Christopher Walken and Batman Returns? Max Shirk, the fucking Men in Black guy. Do you see her drawing? Looks exactly like him.
Oh, right.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, it does look like
legitimately
it.
Looks exactly like it. Max Shirk.
Wow. You now.
We got to pull that
picture
up.
Too bad he doesn't say
hours.
Anything to her. Like, he doesn't after talk the whole time. That experience.
It's him.
If he
side
was,
by
if
side.
She was like, he's spoken a really interesting cadence, then we'd have, what do you say? Uncool ethical?
Unquizzical.
Unquizzical.
Unquizzical proof.
God damn it.
He said, like, well, you know, after everything.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Wow.
All right. Guess about 190. Let's keep on rolling.
Why don't we get into a little bit of Brandon Matron.
Got him.
Juice. Oh, stroking out again.
Brain's dying. Superior genetics.
Superior genetics over on this guy over here.
Yeah. Mean genes.
That was good.
Oh, shit.
Space news! Got
gotcha.
What is the news in space?
We've tracked five mysterious fast radio bursts to the arms of distant spiral galaxies. As we all know, we're starting to detect more and more fast radio bursts. And we're not sure what's behind them. Super short, super intense radio wave pulses, AM radio from distant galaxies. Who knows? But we're starting to get better at, you know, finding them. So before, there was only around 15 of the thousands or so FRB detected to date have been traced back to particular galaxies. But now we're starting to get them in clusters because we're starting to think we're on the cusp of figuring out how these work and what's causing them. So kind of interesting.
Goddamn, Hubble telescope strikes again. And they think, they're thinking that these new five they detected maybe come from magnetars, which is a type of sun.
So it's a type of Pokemon, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Type of, isn't it like a type of like rapidly spinning star? Like,
yeah, what do they say?
Magneton, it's Pokemon.
Dense stars with incredibly powerful magnetic fields, probably which tend to be found Pokemons. In FRB sites spotted by Hubble. So they're starting to track these back across the galaxies, trying to pinpoint. So either a magnetar star or an alien planet with a Dyson sphere. One of the two.
Yeah.
Might have made the second part up, but...
Have we got any updates on Mice Tyson? You know how that's going?
When they did the stuff in space? Jacked.
He's taking the asteroids.
Asteroids?
Yeah. He's on the asteroids getting fucking jacked.
That's hilarious.
Getting ready for his rematch with Holyfield.
Suicycle asteroids.
He bit off another mouse's ear and they had to put him in isolation.
That's fair.
Happens. What else I have? I didn't read this article. I just love the headline. It says, mysterious patterns suggest exoplanets could actually be shrinking in space. Everyone knows that's from the mining. That's why Pluto's not a planet anymore.
Pluto's not a fucking planet.
Relax over your scroopy noopers. you obviously haven't been listening to fucking Jerry. Pluto is a planet.
Earth's greatest scientist, yeah. I literally read the headline. I thought of Rick and Morty. I was like, okay, well, that's kind of funny. And then quickly I had, because we're all in person and I know everyone's been missing it.
I hear it. I can fucking feel it.
Got some Aurora updates for everyone.
Hey-o.
Tonight, no Auroras. Probably low chance this week of seeing Auroras. And by Friday, when you're listening to this, you already missed them if there was some.
I'm surprised you didn't have any cue cards for that one. That's pretty good.
Oh, I thought you were actually going to read this one about the giant massive eruption on the sun's surface.
Oh, no.
That's pretty fucking badass.
There was a huge eruption.
How'd they get that picture?
May 19th. The solar probe.
It's not in Crayola.
The Parker solar probe?
Parker solar probe?
It's the ATT solar probe.
ATT solar probe.
Our name's on it. So it does say Parker solar probe, but it also says our name on it. So.
A spacecraft captured a massive eruption on the sun's surface for the first time, and that was a Parker solar probe. So the chance of auroras may be here.
Ooh.
Probably not.
Probably not.
He probably got it right. Probably, but it is cool. Well. The Parker space probe is going to keep flying by the sun for a while, and eventually, with our names on it, crash into the surface of the sun.
And burn.
And we'll be part of that burning ball forever. Well, until we instantly vaporize on the way in. One more piece of space news. China becomes the first ever country to successfully land a rover on Mars.
Did they fucking crash it on their first try?
On their first try. The first country to do it on their first try. Everyone else has failed on their first try.
But they're also firing up death lotteries every time they go to space. Yeah. So
every time they send one of these up there, someone on Earth has to die.
But the Mars rover, China's Mars rover, Zhurong landed about, as recording this, 5 days ago, and it's taken its first photos of Mars. It's pretty sweet.
That is fucking
cool. And now the NASA and the China robots will battle. Yeah. It is robot jocks.
The new season of BattleBots is here.
You guys don't know this, but the NASA rover has a transforming function, and they will transform into bipedal robots and battle.
Well, and it has the Mars rover or the NASA rover has the fucking chopper on it.
That's right.
It's 2v1 actually.
Yeah.
Well, and also maybe that's why they sent Mice Tyson into space. He's the backup.
He's the backup.
He's the backup. He's going to fucking crash line and whoop China's ass.
Possibly. Anyways, the cool stuff going on Mars, multiple countries sending probes, rovers, orbiters. Just in time for Elon Musk to send the first bunch of humans over to Mars to probably die and never come home.
I love that interview where he's like, oh yeah, people are going to die.
He's like, hey, you're explorers. You're probably going to die. You know what? He's not wrong. At least he's not sugarcoating it. He's like, if you go, you're probably going to die.
Yeah. I was like, cool. Sign me up. We got a theorite of the week and we got a special mention. Should I do a special mention first?
Yeah, do special mention.
Do it.
I have to give a special mention to Mr. Zeitgeist.
Oh yeah, big time.
Because he supplied the beers for our Dungeons and Dragons episode.
Stoned Ogre.
But we got two drunk at the Stoned Ogre Tavern to thank him while we were there. So thank you, Mr. Zeitgeist.
I mean, should we be thanking him though? We were all so fucking hurt.
Your fucking fault, Zeitgeist.
We appreciate it, but at the same time, oh my God, that hurt. We're still kind of hurting.
Fun.
So yeah, I'm on the kombuchas.
It was rough. But Theorite of the Week goes to...
New Patreon supporter,
Sean Pinney or Sean Finney.
Whatever, it's Sean Big Money Finney.
Sean Big Money. He donated the highest ever single donation we've ever received for Pod Week. Yeah. And so thank you for that. He just loves the show, wanted to support the show, wanted to support Pod Week. Thank you for that, Sean.
Guy's a fucking beauty.
Yeah. You can't usually buy your way on to Theorite of the Week, but every once in a while...
Every once in a while, there's someone we're like, okay, well, how do we not give it to this guy?
Yeah, sometimes you got it.
Absolute legend.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Zeitgeist. Thanks, Big Money Sean.
Thank you, Sean. You guys are the fucking big money. Best.
Absolute beauties.
That's what it'd be. Yeah, Big Money. Change your name on Discord when you join to Big Money Sean. What else do we have here?
Well, we're in the midst of Pod Week. Pod Week is almost over, and I think might...
Wait. Right before that, as you're listening to this... Cosmic Channels is back on this feed. Alien Theorists Theorizing.
That's right.
Sundays, 6:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
We're going to do...
This Sunday, May 30th. So if you're listening to this case file...
Oh, yeah.
May 30th. And then we're going to do...
We're going to try and do the second and fourth Sundays of the month.
Yeah.
So if you've never listened to Cosmic Channels, it's just a straight call-in show. You call, give your theories, your stories, make fun of Braden... Whatever you want, 1 hour, it's your show. We sit here, we take the calls. But if you've been listening on Cosmic Channels, it was a separate feed. It's going to be merged with ATT. So if you can just, that one will stay there forever. There's 30 episodes. If you run out of ATT and you want to listen to Cosmic Channels, there's 30 there. But yeah, it's coming back.
It's coming home, baby.
Coming home, merging back with the main show. Just because it's much easier for us just to have one feed. Yeah,
it's a little too much work.
Trying to push them into two, so... Yeah, so I'm excited to bring that back. I'm going to make a bunch more music for it. It's going to be fun. All right, midst of Pod Week. This may be the most Patreon supporters I've had to read.
Buckle up.
On the show. when you put out 20 extra hours of bonus content in a week, you attract some people. So this week's Patreon supporters, Ethan Cox.
Big.
Christian Tellez.
Super fake.
KS underscore Sasquatch went up a tier.
Real ultra fake. No, that's real.
Mike Palladino. Colby Brackenridge. Josh Krantz. Full year pledge by Ronan Schmidt. Jackson
Steer.
Goes up to a $10 pledge. Timothy Reinke.
I want in on this. What's the next one? Soylent Green is what I mean at $5 a month.
Andrew.
I can't even read. Heidi Howitzer?
Heidi Howitzer. Nikayla Trujillo.
Treo.
Treo.
Danny Treo. Yeah.
Captain Trejo. J. Oh, we know that. Jessica Gomez up the pledge $10 a month.
Why don't you just say Jomez?
Jomez.
Lisa H. Saturnalian. That's a fucking dope name. Cheyenne Colin. Paul Nugent Brandt. Hopkins. Who wants this one?
John Avila. Jesse Holler.
You don't have to get louder for this. You don't have to get closer to your mic. Joshua Negrin. From 666 per month to $10 pledge by Number of the Joe. Here's our man Sean with the $10 month pledge.
Big money.
Plus the big.
Big money Sean.
Big money Sean. Adam goes up the top tier pledge.
Woo!
Woo! Make sure to message us and let us know what we can, how we can help you. Adam. Rachel Haynes. Haynes. Tyler. Who wants this one?
Holly McBain.
McBain.
I am Legend 1994. And
we actually got three more as we were recording.
Gato Padre.
Sawyer Das. Matthew Andrew Lowitz. And you know who?
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 Oh, you snuck in a couple extra ones. That was longer than the whole whole Zeltron theme song.
And as we always say at the end of these things, keep those eyes on the skies. See you in After Hour.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable.